Hallelujah. And this, hallelujah, the whole service today is being in honor and praise to the Father, to Jesus Christ. Everything, the songs, all the worship and everything, it's been about Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you know it's about Jesus, isn't it? There's some things about me and you, but ultimately it's about Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that gets all the glory. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's the only one that deserves the glory. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Are you at 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Well, I'm not. Just hold on a little bit. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What is God? He is love, isn't he? My God reigns. Now, love, you know, there's so many different people gives you a definition of love, and so many of them are wrong. Don't even know what love is. I have begun just a little bit to scratch the surface of the love of God. I'm talking about just very, very little of scratching the surface on the love of God. Hallelujah. So we're going to, that's what the Lord impressed upon me. We're going to have a partake of communion after a while. But first, we want to look at love. You know, we're here today to receive and to receive the benefits of this communion because the love of God. The unconditional love of God. Glory, hallelujah. He paid that price. He loved you and I so much that he went to that cross. Willingly, he laid his life down for you and I. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we were not lovable. Even when we were crucifying him, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When we get to that, when we get to that point where we love that much, we'll begin to tip the iceberg of the word of love, the agape love of God. Hallelujah. So let's get started in chapter 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You can talk the biggest talk and walk the biggest walk, but if you're not motivated by love, it ain't worth nothing. That's what he's telling us here. What are you motivated by? Are you motivated by love? I want to tell you something right now. I'll go ahead and tell you and start with. Anything and everything you do, if it's not motivated by love, it's not worth anything. It's just like God don't even recognize you did it. Why? Because love is the greatest thing. The greatest motivator is love. Glory, hallelujah. And though I have the gift of prophecy, how many of you like to prophesy? Yeah, when the Spirit of the Lord comes on me, I love it. Why? Because you're speaking what the Lord's giving you to speak. Listen to what he says. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love. Now this, he's saying charity here. Now we're going to say charity, or probably say love too. I don't know just how it's going to come out. But he's not talking about your normal kind of love, sensual love or human love, or anything like that. That love he's talking about is the divine love. The love that comes from God. And if you read in there, it'll tell you it's pure and honest, all these things, you know. The love, the divine love, it goes far beyond what you and I can comprehend in the natural love. We love our families, don't we? But God loves us so much that Jesus went to the cross. He gave His only begotten Son for us. Now, how many of you would die for your family? We would. I mean, if you really love them, you would. There's a lot of people nowadays that wouldn't. They try to save themselves. But if you truly love, you can begin to get a glimpse of the God kind of love if you are willing to lay your life down for your family. It goes far beyond, just like Pastor Jim is one of my dear friends. And I love him. And I would do anything I could for him. Why? Because I love him with the God kind of love, the unconditional love. He's never done anything wrong or bad to me, but if he did, I would forgive him and still love him. That's what he's talking about here. A love that goes deeper than that, than just natural love. How many of you know, when you were out in the world, when you had money, you had friends, didn't you? Boy, they loved you. They were your best friends. They'd go to the bars with you and help you spend your money, drink up all your money. And then the next day when you was broken with a hangover, they weren't nowhere around. Well, that's not the kind of love we're talking about. Woo, hallelujah. We're talking about when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Jesus willingly went to the cross for it. Now, you know what that's telling me? He's telling me there that he loved me more than he loved himself. And that's what God expects you and I to do. He tells us in the Word to be more concerned about our neighbor's well-being than our own. That's the God kind of love. If we'll take care of our neighbors or those in need, we don't have to worry about ourselves because God will take care of us. He's obligated. He's already said, if you give, I will give to you. Hallelujah. Bless the poor. He told that rich man, the rich young ruler, he said, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. What he was telling him in essence is, you sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and I've got a bank account in heaven that you'll never be in want in the day of your life. But he just could not let go of his riches. That tells you where the love is in your life. How deep that love goes. Glory, hallelujah. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Look at someone say, he ain't got far, has he? But we're going to go further, aren't we? Hallelujah, glory be to God. Woo, hallelujah. Listen to what he says. Let's read verse 2 again. It's worth reading. And though I have the gift of prophecy, oh man, I prophesy. I've got the gift of prophecy operating in my life. Some people brag about the gifts they have, you know. But they got wrong motives. Don't mean the gift's not there. They just wanting self-recognition. And though I speak, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, boy, wouldn't you like to be able to understand all mysteries? Woo. I'm talking mysteries in the Word of God. Because there's a bunch of hidden truths in here that we got to dig and dig and dig to find them. Hallelujah. And if I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith. You remember the message the last time I was ministered here that we talked about faith and what you needed with faith to go with faith to make your faith work. Well, if you had all those things in there, everything working just like you want it to, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You want me to tell you why you're nothing? Because without the right motivation, the God kind of love, those gifts aren't going to do you any good no way. Why? It's got to be motivated by love. Now look in verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or the God kind of love, it profiteth me nothing. See, he's telling us here, how many of you know that when you get born again, you know, people say, and to agree it's true, you're not saved by your works, you're not. But once you get saved, I believe you'll have works. Why? Because James says faith without works is dead. You have a dead faith. It ain't going to accomplish anything. So faith without works is dead, but faith without love is dead. Glory, hallelujah. Look at verse 4. Charity, or God kind of love, suffers long and is kind. Now I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you are kind to everyone you meet on the road? That cuts you off, turns in front of you, but runs you in the ditch, and all these things. How many of you are kind to them? Say, Lord, have mercy on them. They don't know what they're doing. That's what we should do. But how many of us gives them a piece of our mind and we don't have enough to give away? Hallelujah. I don't have enough to give away, but I'd love to sometimes. Well, y'all don't do that. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Give them a piece of my mind, but I don't have enough to give away. In fact, I have so little that God had pity on me and gives me the mind of Christ so I can make it. And the mind of Christ would never want to give them a piece of that mind in a negative way like we do. So in other words, what we need to do is remember that we have the mind of Christ when they do that, and we can say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Those words sound familiar. It's what your Savior and Lord did when they were beating Him and crucifying Him and killing Him. I was studying the other day and reading a little bit in my devotional time and stuff. And man, I've always admired Stephen. He's the only one I've found in the Bible that does exactly like Jesus did and blesses them as they were killing Him. They were stoning him because he preached a message that they couldn't stand. And they began to stone him, and he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father, and they could not bear it. They began to scream and holler and grit their teeth and killed him. And he said, Lord, don't you lay this sin to their charge. Now that's the God kind of love. No matter what you do to me, I choose to love you anyway. It's a choice you and I got to make. Did you know that? And we're going to have plenty of opportunities to make that right choice or the wrong choice. Now, Satan's always standing there trying to get you to make the wrong choice. How many of you know Satan cannot control you? He can't make you do nothing. It's what you will is what will happen. Glory, hallelujah. Look at verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Or the God kind of love envieth not. Suffers long. How many? Now I want to tell you something, and I'm not, well, I'll just say everybody. I'll put it that way, and that will get me out of the hot seat, okay? When you first got married, back when we were younger, I'm not talking about once you get older and settle in your ways and easier going and all this. How many was motivated by that verse? Charity or love suffers long and is kind. How many of you, when you first got married and began to live with your wife, somebody that you thought you knew but you didn't know? And somebody she thought she knew, but she didn't know. And there's a time that's pretty stressful and hard working going on. And you have plenty of opportunities walking in God kind of love. How many times did we fail at it? Huh? How many times did we fail at it? If we only knew then what we knew now, we'd have had a better report, wouldn't we? Hallelujah. That's why we got to renew our mind to the Word. so we can learn how to do what God wants us to do in the manner He wants us to do it. Glory be to God. I'm going to go ahead and say this while I'm here. Well, no, I'll say it when we get down here. Look at verse 4. The God kind of love suffers long and is kind. And that's why I said, remember those days. We said some things to our spouses that wasn't too kind, didn't we? Well, you must not have been like I was, because I was out in the world, wasn't born again. And see, she had a whole lot to put up with that she didn't deserve. Glory, hallelujah. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Have you ever seen anybody so mighty and high-minded they'd walk around with their nose in the air? If you walk by, they'd turn their head the other way. That's being puffed up with pride. When I was growing up, we used to have a saying for those kind of people. Man, I hope it don't rain, they'd drown sure as the world. That nose is turned up so high, they'll drown if it rains. If you think you stuck up, look at that light pole out there. You never said that. You know, I forgot. I'm talking about stuff that I used to do, not y'all used to do. Hallelujah. You're learning a lot about me. You might not want me to come back. Hallelujah. I was pretty rough. Not too likable. Unless you was rough and not too likable like I was. Birds of a feather flock together. Do you know that? So the crowd I hung around with could bear witness with me. Hallelujah. Now I hang around with a different crowd and they can bear witness with me. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Love does not behave itself unseemingly. Does not behave itself unseemingly. In other words, the God kind of love would never do anything that shouldn't have been done. They wouldn't say nothing. I'll just say to women or anything, behave itself unseemingly. Hallelujah. And seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Now, are you out just for your head, get what you can get for yourself? That's what he's saying. Don't seek for its own. Are you out to just get what you can get for yourself? How many of you ever watched that American Greed? It comes on TV and it's about people that have scammed other people, the government and everything, hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars, and years before they get caught. They out to get everything for themselves. And those people, some of those people's lot have four or five mortgages. That one run a mortgage company and had four or five mortgages on each house that they had sold and supposed to have been paid for by the one living in it, but it was. They're out to get you. They only want to take care of themselves. They're motivated by hate and evil and distrust. But the way you look at them, you look at them and you'd never know it. And that's what he's talking about here. They out for themselves to get for themselves. They're not doing like we was talking about a while ago, that it's more important for me to make sure my neighbor's taken care of than it is for myself. That's what the Word says. Take care of your neighbor and don't worry about yourself. See somebody hungry, take care of them, and God will take care of you. Look at verse 6. God kind of love, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Does it make you feel good when you find out somebody did something to show the truth on the side of something? Or had you rather tell the truth or fabricate something? There's a lot of people that claim to be Christians that will fabricate everything they tell you. They're not motivated by love. I want to tell you something that may come be a shock to you, but it may not. There's people in our government and all over the world that are crooked as a black snake, and they claim to be Christians. I knew a long time ago, just because someone says they're Christians does not mean they're a Christian. Because in the world that we live in, Christian is used very loosely nowadays. If you know somebody that is a Christian, then they're a Christian. I know I'm a Christian because he is. That's what I'm saying. Not that they're a Christian. There's so much deception going on. But you can always tell by what it's motivated by. If it's motivated by the love of God. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Hopes all things and endures all things. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, and endure all things. You know, the love of God, Jesus knew that if he went to that cross, all of the ill lifestyles, all the things going on, he would make a way for reconciliation. You can't believe everything everybody tells you. But you can judge it by the love. The God kind of love. What are they doing? Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love, the God kind of love, will believe and trust that what you're telling them is true. It says believes all things. I want to tell you something else too. The Bible says that love will cover a multitude of sins. Have you ever thought about that? A multitude of sins. I was meditating on that one day, and it just rung in my spirit. Love has already covered a multitude of sins. Love has already covered every sin that will ever be committed. It has already covered it. But it's up to you and I to confess it and receive the salvation from our Savior. Because when he went to that cross and he died on that cross and he spilled that blood and it run down that cross and down that hill, every sin that mankind could ever commit was already forgiven. But now you ain't going to reap the benefits of it until you do Romans 10, 9, and 10. You gotta say something, you got to believe something, you got to receive something. But once you do that, then you're a child of God. Glory, hallelujah. So love has covered a multitude of sins. Glory, hallelujah. Now look up there in verse 8. Charity, or the God kind of love, never fails. God kind of love, charity never fails. How many of you have ever been let down by someone? Someone that you thought was the best friend you ever had, and they let you down. Man will fail you. So you might as well get it settled now. Man will fail you, but God will never fail you. He will never, never, never fail you. All you got to do is call out to him. And he tells us, if you call upon me, I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things. But do you know what the problem is? We don't call on him. That's too many people don't call on him. Those that have really, really tapped in to realize and understand that the Holy Spirit, that God is with them all the time, He will never leave you nor forsake you, then we can call upon Him and we can rest assured that what we have asked for, we will get. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And so many people try to say, especially in the denominational churches, that they say that the healing and all that went out with the apostles. They try to say when that was perfect was coming, it's talking about the Word of God. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus will be done away with. So Jesus hadn't come yet. So all these things are operating in the church. How many of you believe they are? Have you seen them operate in your church? Have they operated in your life? Then can't nobody tell you and make you believe that they are done away with, can they? No, because God has set these gifts into the church. First apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those gifts are set in there for the church. And the church that is not getting these ministry gifts to come in, the true, there's some counterfeits everywhere. How many of you know that? There's always counterfeits. The devil's always trying to trip us up. But the church that is not having all these ministry gifts in, then the church, the people, or the sheep are not balanced and not getting everything that they're supposed to be getting in ministry. Hallelujah. Now, some people may not agree with me, but I know in the time that I've been a Christian and all, and in the church where these ministry gifts work, I know and seen the change and difference in my own life. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 9. Oh, we just read that, didn't we? For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, right here, I want you to look at verse 11. I want us all to focus on this. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I want you to look at something. I know people in the world, in the body of Christ, that have been born again for 20 years or longer, and they're still babies. Now, Paul said, I've done been in that childhood stage, and I'm grown now, and I want to get out of that. I'm not going to do like a baby does. And so many people are immature in the body of Christ because they refuse to renew their mind to the Word of God. And if you've been in a church where you're not getting fed the Word of God and you're still a baby at 20 years after you've been born again, there's something wrong. Can we say amen? Amen. I like to think that I'm a little more than a baby, a toddler anyway, wouldn't you? Huh? That we've grown some. Glory, hallelujah. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Pastor Jim and I were talking one day and a little bit on the Word, and we was talking about, you know, when, and John is talking about Jesus said, you're going to be in me, I'm going to be in you, and we're going to be in the Father. But he's talking about, I'm going to be in you, and that's for babies, right? And when you get into Him, we're growing and being the sons. And then when we get into all three into the Father, we're mature Christians. Did I explain that right, Pastor? So you got a growing process. Now I like to think I've got the Holy Spirit. I got this, what John, according to John says, I'm in Jesus, Jesus in me, and we're in the Father. Hallelujah. So the Trinity, we're in there, the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. But we know that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so we wouldn't be alone in this earth. And how many of you know that it's not impossible to walk and live a life with the God kind of love? Why? Because the Bible tells us in Romans that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, the what? The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Well, now, if the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, then I can walk and live my life and the God kind of love flowing out of me. You want me to tell you where the catch is? You got to choose to want to. When the opportunity arises, am I going to walk in love or am I not? It is a choice that you have got to make. Just like he says, I set before you life and blessing, death and curses. Now you choose what you're going to do. Every time you choose not to walk in love, you're choosing all kind of things to come upon you in your life. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love takes away all that judgment and everything. Glory, hallelujah. Do you understand that? Say, it's a choice that I make. I mean, there's an old phrase that was really, really popular when I was growing up. And I thought it was funny back then. But there's so much and so many people that believe it. Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it. We like to push things off and make somebody else accountable for it. Adam said, Lord, it's this woman you gave me. Like to pass the buck, don't we? Instead of saying, no, Lord, I messed up. Glory, hallelujah. When I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, I would say right now, in the state that we're living in, it's time to put away childish things. Begin to grow up. Because I don't know where you realize or not, but we're living in a wicked, wicked world. And I don't care. I mean, I do care. But let me rephrase it this way. Makes no difference who wins the election. They can't help you. The Republicans can't. The Democrats can't help us. Only God can help us. Amen. Only God can help us. How can he help us? You can live in a place of peace even in a world with all kind of trouble and trials going on. It's a choice you got to make. All hell is going to break loose one of these days. Jesus has already told us in the Word. It's going to get worse, it's going to get worse, it's going to get worse. But he said, but lift up your head. He said, when you see these things beginning to come to pass, then lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. Now that's love, that God loves me so much, he chooses to take me out of this mess. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of love that the God we serve has. And just think, he has imparted that love into you and I. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. But then face to say, I know in part. And then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. The God kind of love. Divine love. But the greatest of these is love. There is nothing in this world or in heaven or anywhere that is greater than the love of God. Nothing. So if we have that love and if we're living or walking in that kind of love, we have the greatest gift that has ever been. And we can walk in victory. Victory in every area. Why? Because everything, if it's not motivated by love, will not stand. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look down there in chapter 14, verse 1. The Lord just brought that to my attention. Follow after the divine love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Follow after divine love. What does that mean? It means pursue it, doesn't it? It means to go after it. Follow after divine love and desire spiritual gifts. Why? Because with divine love and spiritual gifts, you can meet the needs of other people. You can be more concerned. If you have the goods, you can be more concerned about somebody you can bless than about yourself, can't you? Huh? Glory, hallelujah. So today, as we came here today and begin to sing, and the focus is on Jesus, on God, through the whole service. And through communion that we're going to be partaking in a little bit. It's because of the love of God that we're able to hear the Word, to spend time in praise and worship, glorify the Father, and then partake of communion. And it's because of that love. If Jesus has not loved us so much, God had not loved us so much that Jesus went to that cross and died for us, we would not be able to take communion and live a guilt-free, a blessed and prosperous life. Because Jesus said in John 10, 9 and 10, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you blessed in every area of your life. That's why he gave his life on Calvary for you and I. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just close our eyes just for a minute. Let's just wait upon the Lord just for a minute.